That's staying in. So, what a auspicious start to our show. Welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where we know that the claim pro wrestling is the highest form of art is a undisputable truth, just like the earth being round or Coke being better than Pepsi. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the man of the hour, Tyler Ward.
The man of the hour, the man with the power. What's up, man?
Oh, that's good. Did you like, I think that WrestleMania theme song from WrestleMania 3 was by far the best of the early WrestleMania theme songs.
Yeah, well, that was the most fun, I think. I was really enjoying that.
Yeah.
You said that was an Aretha Franklin song?
Yeah, called Who's Zoomin' Who.
Nice, that was good.
We only listened to a little bit of it there. I'm curious if she ever actually sings any real words in it, or if it's just oohs and ahs and oh woes.
Okay.
But I think it might be better if that's all it is. How are we doing, Tyler?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I cannot wait. We are so close now.
We are so close.
It is Friday. If we were in New Orleans right now, we would be checking into our hotel and going to some wrestling conventions and starting our just like weekend of wrestling stuffs. But we're not.
Getting
we're at home.
Some delicious Cajun food.
Yeah. What should, do you prefer, gumbo or jambalaya?
I'm gonna say jambalaya. I mean, honestly, I'm a po' boy, man.
Oh yeah.
I am a po' boy.
I'm a fan of open container. and I'm not. That was just for the joke. I think our response so far to everything we're doing this week has been pretty good, and we want to thank you all for reading and listening and enjoying it with us. So go back if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and read all of our blogs and listen to our previous episodes that we've done. I want to know when Turbo Mansion is going to be the people who play a song at WrestleMania. When is that going to happen?
Well, you know, we're working on it. I would love to see that happen maybe in the next 10 years or so, but man, that would be a blast. Talk about a dream come true.
Which wrestler would you guys be the backdoor like theme song for, like entrance theme for?
I'm gonna say a main eventing Drew Gulak.
Oh, and the name of the song would be called PowerPoint.
Yeah, we could write a song called PowerPoint.
I think you could. That actually, like, you should bring that to the group. That might be a good idea. Get it on a Microsoft commercial. WrestleMania is here. It's really close. If you're listening, you might be like, well, you guys spent the last two episodes talking about Raw and SmackDown's matches at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. What else is there left? And the answer is a lot. Another 48 hours of wrestling we could talk about if we wanted to. But we're going to focus on some of the indie promotions and NXT. NXT TakeOver New Orleans. The NXT TakeOvers have been amazing. And particularly the ones in front of WrestleManias have been great too.
Yeah.
And this one has a stacked card.
Wow.
Did you just pull it up for the first time looking at it?
I had like an idea of what it was, but like looking at it now, good God, man.
But there's just so much. There's something called WrestleCon going on that weekend too, which is a little like Comic-Con. It's shows and signings and talks and like a lot of live wrestling at it too. I just want to read you. These are also the most indie sounding stuff. And some of these you'll be like, yeah, I know that. And some of these you'll be like, what is that? So you can go see Wildcat Wrestling with a K, WrestleCon Super Show, The Crash, RevPro from England is going to be there. Impact Wrestling is doing a show, a co-show with Lucha Underground. Pro Wrestling Revolver you got Combat Zone Wrestling, House of Hardcore with Tommy Dreamer will be there. You got a bunch of stuff going on, and that's before Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor.
Break.
yeah, you got that too. I will say I have the WrestleCon site up in front of me, and one of the like. They have a picture of Steve Austin and Goldberg because they're going to be there signing stuff. And then right after those two people as like the rotating images, the next is Lovers versus Friends, where the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, will be facing Chucky T and someone. They have a big question mark.
So who is Chuck Taylor's friends?
Cheeseburger, because I've heard the idea of them being a tag team called Chuck E. Cheese, which is exciting to me.
Oh, I love that.
That will be at the WrestleCon Super Show. Yeah,
yeah. Trent Barrett is injured right now, I think.
Yeah, so actually that match will have already happened by the time that you are listening to this. You guys will know who the person is. Yeah, so there's a lot that you can be doing, and we're going to kind of highlight the bigger indie stuff. I know that's a bit of a contradiction, but letting you know the other stuff that you could be listening to tomorrow on Saturday, the things that you should be watching to get yourself hyped. So we don't have like a word. We're just going to hop into a preview. Do you want to start? Should we start with NXT, probably?
Yeah, we might as well. Just because it's a full show. We know the whole card. So
it's the easiest to watch.
Absolutely. So NXT TakeOver New Orleans, it's coming to you Saturday night, the night right before WrestleMania, as TakeOvers typically do. And honestly, I mean, in the past year, 2 years, maybe three, I don't know how long TakeOvers have been happening and like that. But I mean, personally, as like a hardcore wrestling fan, like I've always enjoyed the TakeOver events a little more than WrestleMania. But it's because it's a different thing. You're not getting the same sort of product. TakeOver is always been intended as a very wrestling focused show. It's intended for the wrestling, like the hardcore wrestling fans. It doesn't have the same level of, you know, excitement and pomp and circumstance and production as like WrestleMania does. But it's still a great show in its own right. I mean, just again looking at this card, wow! So excited.
I wish I was going to be at the Smoothie King Center, which is the name of the arena they're doing it in, which I love.
Yeah.
Yo, you want to go to the Smoothie King Center? Yeah, I do.
I do. Is that a question? But yeah, so I mean, let's just go ahead and get it started. At the top, we're gonna have the NXT champion Andrade Cien Almas defending his title against Aleister Black.
Maybe you've been watching more wrestling since listening to our show. Maybe you haven't got to NXT yet. Almas is the best success, one of the better success stories of the Performance Center this year, where he's a big hit in Mexico, comes into WWE, they take his mask from him, he's learning English, and he really struggles legitimately for a while, and then in the past few months has just really knocked everything out of the park. His match with Johnny Gargano from the last TakeOver mm-hmm. Philly that we were at, that might be in my like top two or three matches of the year when we vote on that later.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's really shown that he can main event.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes for those luchadors like coming over to the American system and like having to learn kind of a new style of wrestling, for some of them, of course, they are losing the mask. They are having to be more like vocal, more characters than just wrestlers. I think he's done a really great job. Definitely in the last couple months, we've seen him really hit his stride. Yeah. I think losing his mask was actually pretty good because he has a great face. Like he does have a really great face. He's a great looking guy.
He has a punchable face too.
he emotes very well with his face. Like he has a great like a snarky grin that like you just you won in your heels. Like he's so good.
Mm-hmm. I want to say to the point that you mentioned about like they have to learn a new style. It's not like other American wrestlers being like, well, I used to be a high flying guy and now I'm older, so I have to like be a submission guy. Lucha Libre has a totally different set of logic and rules mm-hmm. than American wrestling. So it is literally learning another language, which exactly. he's doing right now anyway.
Which he's also doing.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, he's been doing a lot of great work. But I mean, on the flip side, Aleister Black is... Man, I can't. It's hard to find someone who has come into NXT so perfectly packaged and been booked so well that they are just skyrocketed right to where they should be, right to the top. I'm gonna be honest, when he debuted, when he wrestled on the indies, his name was Tommy End, which I still think is a much better name than Aleister Black, but that's irrelevant. But on the indies, I didn't really watch a lot of Tommy End's matches. Like, I knew the name, but I hadn't really seen his work. So him coming in, I didn't have really a lot of any high hopes for him. And I mean, immediately he became one of the top tier competitors in NXT. Like, this guy is main event material. I mean, he's clearly a draw. Like, he always puts on a great match. Like, we saw the last takeover against his match with Adam Cole. That was an amazing match. Like, I don't know. I think it's going to be really good. I think this is – I can't even say that, like, this has the potential to steal the night because there's so many other amazing matches on this card.
Yeah. How would you describe Aleister Black's character for someone who's never seen him?
He is I think he is the 21st century Undertaker.
Yeah, without actually having like any supernatural abilities.
Yeah, he just without like... actually being an undead wizard and like summoning mm-hmm. lightning and teleporting, like yeah. he is the Undertaker persona. He has
a great entrance.
He's an amazing entrance. He's very dark, mysterious. Yeah. Has this very gothic undertones.
He does what I call the Nosferatu, where they put the camera yeah. stationary and he rises from the grave without, you know, with the help of a pneumatic arm mechanism. Or something. Yeah, but it looks really great. And he is a vicious striker. He kind of looks like what a bouncer in Norway would look like, I imagine.
Yeah,
I've never
yeah.
been to Norway, but like a bouncer in like a Nordic place who you're like, the guy doesn't look too big, and he's just sitting there, and then he turns once and like kicks yeah. a guy's jaw off. Like, that is Aleister Black.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Covered in tats, like sweet mohawk thing. Like, he's mm-hmm. he's badass.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be an amazing match. I can't even say it's going to steal the night because there's so many other great matches. I think it's going to be incredible. Yeah. I feel like Aleister Black is going to win and get the title out of this. But at the same time, it's very possible he might not.
Yeah.
Because I feel like both competitors are at the level where they're ready to go up to main. I know, like, I...
The
I
main already... roster, not to, like, Bangor, Maine, I should say. Yeah.
To go up to the main roster, to go to Raw or mm-hmm. SmackDown.
Yeah.
I'm confident that Aleister Black is going to fare much better on the main roster than Almas will. Nothing against them as performers, it's just I'm confident that Creative will be able to book Aleister Black better than what they plans they might have for Almas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, who do you see winning?
The fans. Like, I don't even want to think about fantasy booking this one for a second, honestly, because it doesn't matter who wins this one. I think it's just
yeah, this is going to be a great match.
Be interesting. I will say the next match on the card is, I think, the match I'm most excited for this entire WrestleMania weekend. Which
Ooh,
is a
wow,
bold
the whole
claim.
Weekend.
This is an unsanctioned match because technically one of the people doesn't work for NXT anymore, and it's mm-hmm. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. I think this, more so than Roman versus Brock, has the best year-long build to it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
These two as a tag team have had a bunch of five-star matches, no matter what Dave Meltzer says. And that ending of the takeover Chicago, I might get it wrong there. It's either that or Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It was Chicago. That ending with the turn was so brutal and got so much real heat on Tommaso. And then mm-hmm. to have them disappear for a while and for Johnny's match at takeover Philly to be as good with Almas, to be this great match, and then you reignite the storyline. You add Candice LeRae yeah. in it. You add a grandmother into this storyline, which is a thing they've done. Like this, we saw how good a match these two can have against each other in the first round of the Cruiserweight Classic 2 years ago when they were best
yeah.
friends at the time. And you see the beginning of Tommaso being like, I could have turned on him then. And he doesn't because mm-hmm. he's my friend. That is the scope of storytelling we're seeing. We're seeing what they did when they were friends. They are going to be brutal in this match. You're going to see a million far-off stares from Johnny Gargano. You're going to see Tommaso Ciampa retake his moniker from the independent circuit of being the psycho killer, and I think he's gonna be the best heel that we get all weekend. Like I don't want to talk it up more than that because I will be afraid then if it doesn't go well, but I think this could be the match.
I mean, I don't know if it's the match I'm most excited for the whole weekend. I think AJ Nakamura might be right up there with it. But definitely, I think of this card, absolutely. This is a match that has been told for years in the making. And this match could very well steal the show. I think it will, in terms of performance and like people being involved. I think this will actually be the main event.
Yeah, I can see it happening too.
It's TakeOver has shown that the title matches doesn't necessarily always go on last, but that's not a detriment because at TakeOver Chicago, the main event was the triple threat ladder match for the tag team titles, which the culmination of that, we got to see this storyline turn of Ciampa turning on Gargano, and I feel like this match, like, it makes sense for this to be the main event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this has been the backstage kind of like a storyline for NXT for the past 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's even bigger because there's so much turnover in the NXT roster that for them to have a match that is multiple years in the making,
exactly.
They're not going to get this opportunity again. You know,
yeah, this is the A storyline that has like hasn't always been in the foreground, but like it's always been something that people keep remembering as happening, and like we still need the end of it. I think this is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. We need to keep zipping along through these ones. We're going to throw a lot at you, but that's okay. Indie wrestling is faster. there's going to be a triple threat tag for the NXT tag titles and also the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. The Unforgotten Era, the champions versus Authors of Pain versus Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong.
The Undisputed Era?
Oh, what did I say? Did I say the Unforgotten Era? They should have went with that instead. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, although there are some injury concerns there. We'll see what happens with this one. I think this might actually get shafted and be like the shortest match.
Well, I think it's confirmed that Bobby Fish is not cleared to wrestle, right? He's not going to be cleared.
Well, as of right now on Wikipedia, they still got him going. I know that's not the most trustworthy thing in the world, but he's very hurt.
That's true.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I almost don't want to talk about it more because I think there will be some shenanigans.
Yeah.
Maybe that happens.
Yeah. I mean, the logical answer is them freebirding the titles, having Adam Cole step in.
Which could very well happen as a result of the match that might happen before it.
Yeah.
Which I think we should just go to it. I don't think there's that much really more to say about the tag one is the ladder match for the inaugural NXT North American Championship. Ethan Carter III, Adam Cole, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, the Velveteen Dream, and Ricochet are all going to go at it.
Woohoo! This is going to be a good match.
Mm-hmm. I have one guarantee with this match that I think... on r/SquaredCircle, which is the big pro wrestling subreddit on Reddit, I think the number one most viewed thing up until the actual start of WrestleMania will be whatever big spot Ricochet does in this ladder match in GIF form. That's my bold claim.
I think it will be good. He's definitely diving off that ladder. That much I know. What he does, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think this is going to be a great match. I think this is going to be a great match because...
it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, but you're really showcasing, like, the... like, so many different styles of wrestling in this match that I love. You have guys like Velveteen Dream and Lars Sullivan, guys who are WWE Performance Center, like, born characters. Like, that's where they started. Like, they weren't indie... Well, Velveteen was an indie guy for a little bit, but You know what I mean? Like, this is...
Yeah, not really. Kind of.
They
yeah.
really cut their teeth in the Performance Center, and, like, this is where they became, like, really good wrestlers. But then you have, like, indie mm-hmm. guys, like Adam Cole, Killian Dane, Ricochet, who come from the indies. You have a guy mm-hmm. like Ethan Carter III, who was in NXT, then left and, like, really cut his teeth elsewhere and came back. Like,
yeah.
man, it's... The
yeah.
the caliber of all these guys in the match is incredible. Like,
mm-hmm. mm. and it's going to be a car. This isn't going to be a wrestling match. This is going to be two guys are going to do a spot, and then they'll roll out of the ring, and two other guys will do. Like, it's going to be one upsmanship. It should be the first match of this night. Yeah. I feel like would make sense. I agree that if there's some injuries going on with the tag champs, that it makes sense for Adam Cole to lose and then go into the tag match and retain the tag titles there.
But honestly, I mean, if I were to make like an educated guess right now of who I think's going to win, it's either mm-hmm. Adam Cole or EC3, I think, in my mind.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, too. Yeah. EC3 has so much charisma, which was confirmed on NXT last week with his promo. I think eventually he would be someone who would make sense as having a long NXT title reign, unless they want to get him up to the main roster right away. But he could be like the star of NXT for a while.
Oh, no, I think he can fulfill that Bobby Roode role that Bobby like left when he went up to main roster. I still think it's going to be one of these two guys winning, but yeah, I mean, I'm super excited for this match. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. You know, we just talked about Adam Cole and EC3 and Ricochet are the like hot, sexy indie people that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if the other three guys decide like, no, this is going to be my moment to do something.
Yeah, right yeah.
Killian Dane's a big dude, but he can fly a little bit.
I was going to say, I think the people are going to be looking at the spot Ricochet does in this match, mm-hmm. but I'm really looking forward to the spot where Killian Dane dies off that ladder at some, like, a group of people, like, because that's happening.
That's going to be something. I'm looking at, how is Sanity not on this card other than in the ladder match? That's kind of poor Eric Young. Maybe they'll work their way into the ladder match or something.
Maybe they would have done better if Sammy Callahan was in charge of that.
We'll get to him a little bit later in this show. We got one more match on this card. It's a rematch for the NXT Women's title between the champion Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler. I think this will be more of kind of the same of what we saw in Philly. Maybe a little bit longer.
I think it's going to be a good match. I think they're going to tell a different story than what we saw at the TakeOver Philadelphia, which was pretty much Ember Moon surviving Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler was dominating her the entire match. She had her in an armbar for what felt like 5 minutes. Like, it was
it was a long time.
It was so long. But I feel like they're going to tell probably a different story. I think we could see a more... aggressive Ember Moon coming out of this, really putting Shayna Baszler to the test. I think it makes all the sense in the world for Shayna Baszler to win and get the title to send Ember Moon up to main roster because we, God knows she's ready.
Yeah, I think that sounds... I think someone's going to the main roster after this because they have a lot of women in the wings kind of waiting to get on TV there, I think. So I think that someone's going up. So someone will win traditionally by winning the title, and someone will win by being able to start their career elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Did we even mention for the tag match that Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong were a team?
We did. We did mention that. That's a really fun team that's thrown together, but just in the sake of time, I think is why we're...
I was thinking, did we even mention that?
Yeah. So... I think we have to hop over to the other biggest indie card that's happening that weekend, and that is Ring of Honor's pay-per-view, Super Card of Honor. This is Super Card of Honor 7. That's going to take place at the Uno Lakefront Arena on April 7th, 2018. It's going to run parallel to the NXT show, which is interesting. So you're going to have to kind of pick what you want to watch or go back and forth.
Luckily, that decision's already made for me because I will not have access to the Supercard of Honor show. So
yeah, yeah.
Until they have an easily accessible network like the WWE Network, it's gonna probably stay that way.
They do have a network. It's getting better. Yeah. I don't have it, but I've read a lot about it. There's a few big matches we should talk about, though. The biggest being, we're both kind of shocked that this is happening now and not at the All-In show that they're going to do later this year, is Cody not Rhodes versus Kenny Omega. What's at stake in this match?
I mean, the Bullet Club is at stake in this match. Again, we feel like this match is a little early right now. Storyline-wise, it makes all the sense in the world for this to be the main event for the All-In show that they're putting on in September. But it can still work now, being told, of course. Like, I mean, it's going to work regardless. It's going to be a great match. But basically at stake is the Bullet Club. Kenny Omega was, quote-unquote, the leader of the Bullet Club. But we've seen a lot of dissension as of late. Cody is trying to establish himself as the head of the faction, and he's got a few people supporting him. I know Hangman Page seems very much in his corner. Marty Scurll.
Marty seems kind of on his side.
He's a little torn, but he seems a little more in Cody's corner there. So I mean, it's going to be a huge match. I'm certainly looking forward to this match just because Kenny and Cody are both amazing athletes, and it's going to be a great match. And they're great storytellers, too.
And this is going to be the bridge to whatever they want to do on All In, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Let's talk about Shakespeare. This is the most Macbeth-type storyline of reigning kingdom of people wrestling together, and everything's going fine, and starting something out of nothing just because someone's like, you know what, maybe I should be the king. And I think it's going to be fantastic. I think if they do break up into competing factions, this is maybe the night it happens, and then you get an all-out war at All In. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the main event at All In could be if it's not this.
I think I do see that. Because this will be the first, official meeting of Cody and Kenny. But I don't see this being, an end to it at all.
No, no. They could run this back at All In.
No, yeah, this makes all the sense to be the beginning of this chapter, you know what I mean? Whoever wins, we're still going to see this feud continue. I'm most looking forward to how it develops on being the Elite, the Young Bucks YouTube show, where we've seen a lot of this story is unfolded through that platform. And I think this is one of the things I'm more excited about, is the idea of really bringing wrestling into the new age technology, and how this wrestling storyline that has really, like if you're just watching Ring of Honor and New Japan, you can see it happening, but if you really want the details and the things of why this is happening and how this happened, you have to also supplement that with this YouTube show, which is great, by the way. I love being the Elite. It's really interesting, and I love seeing this transition of wrestling into a more mainstream outlet, through YouTube and web shows and things like that. It's very great.
And no one does it better than the members of the Bullet Club right now.
No.
And the other people that they bring in with them. They are doing that better. I know Billy Corgan runs NWA now, and they are doing their own kind of YouTube show too, and that could be good. But being the Elite is its own thing in wrestling that no one else has been able to do better yet. Continuing on with a Bullet Club member, the ROH World Championship is going to be on the line too. Dalton Castle is going to face Marty Scurll, the Villain. I don't know if we've talked about Dalton Castle yet on this show. He's one of your favorite wrestlers, I know. Do you kind of want to try to sum him up for pitch why people should buy this pay-per-view to watch Dalton Castle, the kind of forgotten Ring of Honor champion in the midst of all this Bullet Club stuff?
I feel like if you ever watched WrestleMania 1, and you always wanted Liberace to just get in the ring and start fighting people, that's Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
He's
mustachioed Liberace.
He's mustachioed Liberace. He's incredible. I love Dalton Castle. He's he's flamboyant, and he's androgynous, I guess. Or
yeah, he's got like a Bowie kind of.
Yeah,
not like, even. He's got more of like a Caligula. Like you kind of always feel like an orgy is about to break out, but not in like an overtly sexual.
He has like sort of a faction. He has two guys with him. He calls the boys, who he dresses in scantily clad outfits, who have large feathers, and they feather him. Like, it's very,
think Alexander the Great being like, and they like take him into the ring in a way that he doesn't have to like touch the ground, kind of
thing. But he's great, and he's the Ring of Honor world champion. He will be defending against the villain Marty Scurll.
I think Marty's going to make Dalton look really good too, because Marty is deceptively small and Dalton is deceptively strong.
Yes.
So I think that there can be some nice, like, this is maybe, I don't think Marty has any chance of winning this, but I think that this is going to be a make match for Dalton to make people be like, oh yeah, he is actually, he reminds me of Chad Gable a lot, like physique wise and their ability to throw around bigger dudes.
And
I like Chad Gable a lot. Dalton Castle has even more charisma and comedy chops than him. Yeah,
I agree.
Are there any other matches on the Ring of Honor Supercard you want to talk about?
There's potential for a lot of them to be really good matches. I'm looking forward to Kota Ibushi versus Hangman Page. I think that's going to be a great match, and I think definitely in the last like couple months, Hangman has really started to make a name for himself as a really good wrestler. I mean, this past couple weeks ago when they had the New Japan show Strong Style Evolved.
Yeah.
He had a title match against Jay White for the IWGP United States title. And that match was already in a hard place on the card because it was right before the main event of the Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks, which everyone pretty much paid to see that match. And so that's already a very hard point after a very long show. And like, they put on a barn burner, and like
they were great.
They had people into it, and like they were very invested by the time that match was over. So I think it's going to be great. And we know Kota Ibushi is amazing. So I think I'm most looking forward to that match besides the ones we've already talked about.
I think that's another good test for Hangman, because he also, for like a few years in a row now, like since being in Bullet Club, he has not had many one-on-one matches.
No.
And I think that Jay White one, that was kind of a point of concern, is will he be able to switch, be like, oh, I'm not in an 8-man match, I have to, like, it's just us out here.
And
I think he kind of put those concerns to bed, and I'm excited to see. I think this will be not the same pace as that Jay White match. I think this will be a quicker, like, more aerial match than that one.
Certainly.
We've also got the Young Bucks will be there, of course, with Flip Gordon taking on Daniels Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. That will be even more gaga, and that's a ladder match. You'll see some crazy stuff
in
GIF form after that one. They're also going to have their first women's title crowned. There's four people left in that. My money is on formerly Emma to Neil Dashwood. Like, makes the most sense to me. But we'll see if something crazy happens instead. What else is on that card? Ishii versus Punishment Martinez. Jay Lethal and Tanahashi versus the Briscoes. That could quietly be one of the better matches of the whole
weekend.
Yeah, definitely. That's Tanahashi is like, where earlier on the last episode where we said Nakamura is like Japanese Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson. Tanahashi is like Japanese 80s hair metal. I think it's like, like hairstyle wise, he definitely looks like a Flock of Seagulls guy.
Very much.
That will be super fun.
In ring, he's Japanese John Cena, though. Like, he's
best
of the best, top of the card.
That's a match I would love to see at some point, a Tanahashi John Cena match.
Oh my god,
that would
be good lord.
That would be so much fun. those are the two biggest indie shows this weekend. I kind of want to go through some of the other kind of random stuff that people have. Sami Callihan claims that he is booking like everything, maybe in character, maybe not. We should talk about him for a second, that the Impact versus Lucha Underground show that they're doing, Sammy will actually be representing Lucha Underground, and Eddie Edwards will
Will he be Jeremiah Crane or Sami Callihan?
I don't know. I think they're going to keep it Sami Callihan based on Impact has worked really hard to make this match a mainstream media attention match. They put them both on interview circuits. They've had them showing up at shows they're not booked for to face each other. They've had some stuff because there's a very violent accident that happened in a match between them a while ago. It's one of those I'd say go watch it, but if this kind of stuff bothers you, maybe don't, because it's not
like graphic, and there's not like blood or much or anything, but like it's still very hard to watch.
Eddie Edwards has a folding chair above his head. He's laying on the ground, has a folding chair above his head. Sami Callihan has a black baseball bat. He's supposed to hit the top of the chair so that it like reverberates into Eddie. He does hit the top of the chair, but it slips off the end of it and hits Eddie Edwards in the eye. He legitimately almost lost his eye as a result of this, which was a real problem. But now they are running this very bad blood angle where it seems like they put all their chips on this WrestleMania weekend match between them. I might actually I don't know if I'm going to watch it live, but I will go back and try to watch that. They've convinced me to be interested in that match.
Yeah. If anything, Sami Callihan has convinced me to watch this just off his Talk Is Jericho episode, which told me I had to listen to, and I went back and did it, and man, it's something else. It's bizarre.
I don't know if I love it or hate it, and I legitimately can't tell when he's being in character and when he's not. He's clearly very upset about the run that he had recently in NXT as Solomon Crow, and that comes out as like, this is really how he feels.
See, but that felt very much like that was just him, you know, that was a shoot, like this is how I feel, like we had messed up, and they messed up NXT and stuff like that. But then, like, when he does get into the Eddie Edwards stuff, like, it's really hard to tell, like, what he's you know, kayfabing and what he's not. Like, the whole time he was talking about, like, he was like, no, I don't feel bad that I hit this dude in the face with a baseball bat. And, like, I mean, yeah, like, in character you would say that, but, like, I was like, is he in character? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So good on Sammy on that, and I mean, that could be a really good match as well.
Yeah.
If you had to go to one other wrestling thing that we haven't mentioned so far this weekend, do you have one that you're like, that would be great?
I don't know the card, honestly, but just because I've heard like a lot of like other hype around it, would probably be Joey Janela Spring Break.
Can you explain kind of quickly like what that is for people who don't know?
I don't know if I can. So Joey Janela he's an indie wrestler who he's been known of late as being like, man, how would you even describe it? Like,
it's tough.
Gross or?
Yeah. Intentionally gross.
Yeah.
Or like saying pretty scumbag things.
Yeah. But it's still like he's putting on this show, Joey Janela Spring Break. And honestly, I don't know the card, but I'm confident there's going to be some good matches on there, and it mostly just like some shenanigans that I think are going to be really interesting to watch.
It's going
to
be unforgettable and crazy, and I'm looking at it now. It's Janela versus Great Sasuke. okay. Matt Riddle versus James Ellsworth is going to be on that show.
That was the match I'm like oddly looking forward to.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Mike Quackenbosch, David Starr. They have a match called the Clusterfuck that's going to happen on that show as well. That's going to be a weird, ridiculous show.
Yeah.
I'm looking at House of Hardcore is Tommy Dreamer's promotion, which I feel like is a good representation of like old school indies of like, we're going to do like WrestleMania. We're going to have a little bit for every type of fan, but on a smaller scale. Although I am a bit worried, they're doing a fun thing where they're starting their show an hour after whenever NXT ends. So they're allowing people the time to get there. So it's like a midnight show, which I think is kind of cool. As of right now, they're match that's announced for that is Austin Aries versus Rich Swann.
No way.
It is, and
is Rich Swann wrestling?
Well, he said that he's retiring.
That's what I heard, that he was.
But he's going to finish. Retired. He's going to finish the commitments that he had, right?
Wow.
And this was the last one, so this might be Rich Swann's last match. I think he's going to get a very negative reaction.
Oh, not, very much.
Not in a bad guy way. I think it could be a bad idea. If there's any match that is scheduled that then ends up not happening, this would make sense. Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, Rich Swann, Google him. Yeah.
Without going into details, Rich Swann has got himself into some legal trouble for very bad reasons.
Yeah, similar in the like the Me Too like era, that kind of stuff. So that's gonna be rough. And his character couldn't be further away from that.
I know.
So it's I will also say there's gonna be a show that's wrestling with pancakes. Like a brunch wrestling show. That's the Sami Callihan one.
I remember the one he was talking about, like, does in the morning or something,
So I like that as an idea, that you get in the convention center. That's Pro Wrestling Revolver. That'll be at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Pancakes and Pile Drivers is what they're doing. I love that as just a name of something. So that's not even all of the wrestling that's going on that weekend.
Yeah.
That's just some of it.
It's just some. Again, there's, I think, anywhere from 50 to 60 different shows happening.
Yeah, so if you're in New Orleans and you're not into wrestling and you're like, what the hell is going on this weekend? That's why there's so many new people in your town. We've only got a little bit of time left. Do you want to get into the kayfabe machine one more time? The kayfabe 5000? I almost said 500. It's a much older model. Even less safe.
Let's do it, man. Make the hat trick. Come on.
Oof. Oh, man, maybe we're not supposed to use it so many times in a short span of time. That really that really hurt.
I didn't see anything about the frequency of use when I was building it, but you know, that's what this trial and error period is for. So.
Yeah. So we got some questions. Someone wants to know, will the Bullet Club still be a faction come the end of Super Card of Honor?
All I'm going to say is yes, the Bullet Club will in fact be a faction, because it's going to be led by the bad boy, Tama Tonga.
Tama Tonga?
Yeah.
You think he's going to come out at the end of this and just take it back, take it over?
I think he will, whether he shows up in person or not. I think we're going to see Tama Tonga make his claim to the Bullet Club known. He is Bullet Club OG. He's been there from the beginning. And as we've seen on Being the Elite, he's above all this stupid infighting, man. He knows what the Bullet Club's about. He knows what they're supposed to do, and he doesn't need all this. He's going to take it over for himself.
Maybe he's what they need to, like, come in and repair the men's with everybody and get everybody back on the same page.
Yeah.
Hopefully it ends better for him than it did Mercutio. I think that, yes, the Bullet Club will still be a faction, but maybe it will look a lot different. I'm not just talking about the new logo that Cody Rhodes is going to share. Great. Whose side are you on in the Sami Callihan, Eddie Edwards match for Impact versus Lucha Underground this weekend?
Look, man, I gotta be on Eddie Edwards' side, man. He almost lost his eye, all right? And Sami Callihan, like, I'm convinced he might have done it on purpose at this point.
Well, I don't know about that. If he was going to do it on purpose, he would have not had a chair there. He would have just swung and hit him in the face.
I mean, hey, that's the perfect excuse right there to say I didn't mean to do it. I've seen the footage. It looked almost like he was aiming for his head. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I've seen the same footage as you. I think Sammy didn't mean to do that, but I think because people have reacted, like, accidents happen. Because people have reacted this way, I feel like he's justified in his ability to be like, no, screw all of you guys. You thought I hit him like on purpose? Now you're really going to see what happens if I hit him like in the face on purpose. I would be very afraid for Eddie Edwards' face coming this weekend. This is a short one, again, because I don't know if we're going to be able to stay in here that long. I can already feel the walls kind of closing in on me. Will NXT TakeOver New Orleans be better than WrestleMania 34?
Please, not even a question. It certainly won't be. Is NXT the showcase of the Immortals?
I don't believe it is, no.
No, it's not, because it's not WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the granddaddy of them all, biggest show of the year, Super Bowl of wrestling. It's got to be WrestleMania.
All right. I mean, I think it may have, like, the best 2 hours, like, the two-hour stretch this weekend. But I love NXT, but I have to stick with you on this. I feel like just there's no stage grander. There's nowhere else that people would rather be. Although I do kind of want to be at Pancakes and Pile Drivers. So maybe that will be the best show of the weekend. I think I'm going to go on record. The best show of the weekend is going to be Pancakes and Pile Drivers.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. All right, with that, should we hop back out?
Yep. So I think the kayfabe machine's seen a little too much use this week. Let's go ahead and hop out of here. I'm going to do some work on it later, but we'll hop out while we can.
Put that cigarette out.
It's still real to me, damn it!
We will ban you from the Summerfest.
You'll be banned from SummerSlam, is what you're saying.
SummerSlam.
I slammed out.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Oh, my God!
Oof. I really want pancakes now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a side effect or what, but
I can tell you. Do you see that the machine is actually leaking fluid right now, Tyler? Is it supposed to be doing that?
I'm sure it's fine. I'll take a gander at that. So anyway, thank you guys for listening along with us this week. We've been just building up. Of course,
we're almost there.
We are so close. We're on the last lap. We're almost there. But if you've come this far, maybe you're going want to go a little further. I think we have one more blog post or something to send out after this.
We do have one more blog post that's going to come out after this.
And
it's
going to
be a good one. It's going to be me talking about WrestleMania moments and the history of trying to have a coronation for Roman Reigns, and whether it's going to work this time or if he's going to be Lex Luger 2.0.
Yeah.
Which I'll talk about more there.
Cool.
Yeah. So until then, if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000, submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter at adowrestling, or you can email them to us at muchadowrestling@gmail.com. Let's skip to the finish on this one. As always, we leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare: if wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Dig it!
Ooh, that was a nice big one.
There you go.
Who's your man?